Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Andy and Sarah Justice were frustrated. The husband and wife had tried for years to have a child, but they were unable to conceive. Their hearts were full of love, but their arms were empty. Every month they waited with anticipation to see if Sarah would be pregnant. And every month their hope turned to despair. After years of empty arms, Andy and Sarah went to a doctor to see if in vitro fertilization might work for them. But the doctor told them the cost of IVF could reach as high as $60,000, and there was only a 10% chance they would conceive. It looked as if there was no way back for Andy and Sarah Justice. How do you come back when you can't conceive? How do you find fulfillment when your lifelong dream is frustrated? But God is the God of the comeback story, and he had a plan for Andy and Sarah that would take them from frustrated to fulfilled. So Andy and Sarah decided to adopt a child. They went through the preliminary process for adoption and were eventually put in contact with a young pregnant woman who wanted to give up her child for adoption. At long last, it seemed that the empty place in their home would be filled. But what Andy and Sarah Justice didn't know was that God had more for them than they asked for. In fact, he had more for them than they expected. For shortly after agreeing with the young lady that they would adopt her child, Sarah and Andy found out that the woman was carrying triplets. She wasn't going to have one baby. She was going to have three babies. Well, Sarah and Andy didn't want to split up the siblings, so they agreed to adopt all three children. And when the triplets were born, Andy and Sarah were there to welcome them into their arms right from birth. They took the triplets home and praised God for his blessings. But then they got the shock of their lives. For just 2 weeks after Sarah and Andy Justice brought their newly adopted triplets home, they discovered that Sarah was pregnant. And then just 2 months later, they discovered that Sarah was carrying twins. Suddenly, Sarah and Andy Justice were the parents of five children. In just 9 months, they went from empty to overflow. They went from despair to joy. They went from frustrated to fulfilled. There's a powerful illustration for all of us today in the true comeback story of Andy and Sarah Justice. Maybe you're watching today and there's an empty place in your life. Maybe you're here with an empty heart or an empty room or an empty pocketbook. Maybe you're frustrated and your dream seems out of reach. Maybe you're down and out and it looks like there's no way back. But no matter what is lacking in your life, God is a God of the comeback. He can fill the barren womb and he can restore the barren soul. He can fill your empty wallet and he can fill your empty heart. For no matter what condition you're in today or where you're empty, God can turn it around and give you a comeback. He can take you from frustrated to fulfilled when you learn to follow his ways. That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to discover the three steps we all can take to launch a comeback in 2020. But before we learn how, let's pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come to you in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, speak to us today. We submit to you. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to enlighten our minds, illuminate our spirits, and give us the grace to receive your word and obey it. Father, at the end of today, let your name be glorified and let our lives be transformed. We ask it by faith and we thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I invite you right now to take a moment, join your faith with mine, put your hand on your chest and pray after me. Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone. It's fantastic to have you with me today as we receive the Word of God. And you've picked a great day to be here as we prepare to enter the second half of 2020. We're just a few days away from the middle of the year. And as we approach the mid-year, I believe there's an outpouring of God for your life. He's got a miracle in the middle of the year with your name on it. And today we're going to begin the journey to a comeback so that the second half of 2020 will be better than the first half. See, I don't know what situation you're in right now, but I think I can safely say that the year hasn't turned out the way many of us expected. We started 2020 full of hope and excitement, a new year, a new decade, and a year of double blessings, 2020. But then in the midst of the year, the world got hit with the coronavirus pandemic. And many of us were caught off guard. Our plans were put on hold. Our finances took a step back. And for many of us, our dreams turned to despair. But the good news is that God wants to write a comeback story for you for the latter half of 2020. When you get God involved, He can turn your frustration into fulfillment. That's why today I'm beginning a new sermon series titled The Comeback Factor. As we launch into the second half of 2020, we're going to discover the principles from God's Word that will guide you so that you can make the second half the best half of this year. Now, to help us learn the truth for today, we're going to study the story of the miraculous catch of fish found in Luke 5, 1 to 11. Now, receive the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, go out where it is deeper." Just tell your neighbor, "Go out deeper." "And let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they'd caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Think for a moment about what happened to these men. Their plans didn't work out the way they expected. They'd launched out into the lake to fish, expecting to get a good catch. They started off with enthusiasm, but they ended up with exhaustion. They worked hard all night, but had nothing. They were tired and hungry and had nothing to take home to their families. Their boats were empty. Their nets were empty. Their stomachs were empty. To put it plainly, they were frustrated. Yet in the midst of that emptiness, God brought fullness. In the midst of their pain, God brought joy. Their trial became a triumph. Their setback set them up for a comeback, and Jesus turned their mess into a miracle. And in that fact, we learn a powerful truth. The failed fishing expedition was the catalyst for a better catch. The empty boat made room for Jesus. See, if they'd had a big catch in the night, they wouldn't have had room for Jesus to enter the boat the next day. What looked like a bad night made a great day possible. What seemed like a failure was an opportunity for victory. And that's the message God sent me to give to you today. He sent me to encourage you that this year may not look good to you so far, but your empty boat makes room for Jesus. He can turn your frustration into fulfillment. He can turn your emptiness into overflow. He can shift you to a new place, a place called comeback. See, the reason that relationship had to end was because God is moving you to a new place, a place of peace. The reason that job fell through was because God is moving you into a new place, a place of fulfillment. The reason that effort didn't pay off was because God is setting you up for a comeback. And Peter went from empty to overflow, and you can too when you learn the truths in the story. So today, let's discover three steps to launch your comeback. And here's your first step today. Separate yourself from the world. Your comeback from frustration to fulfillment begins when you separate yourself from the world. Listen again to what Jesus says to Simon Peter in Luke 5:4. Jesus said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper." And think about what had happened here. Jesus got into Peter's boat and taught the people. And obviously, Peter was right there listening to Jesus along with the multitude. But there came a point in time when Jesus told him to go out deeper. There came a point in time when Peter had to launch out with Jesus, away from the crowd, away from the multitude, and separate himself from the shoreline. And here's what that means to all of us today. Your comeback begins when you launch out deeper with Jesus. The more you separate yourself from the shore, the more you enter the arena of the supernatural. No matter what you're passing through, or how dark the night, or how empty the net, when Jesus gets involved, things start to change. For the truth is this, the presence of Jesus is the starting point for a comeback. When he enters your boat, anything can happen. His presence brings a shift. For Jesus makes a way where there is no way. He turns empty nets to full ones. He turns darkness to light. It's his presence that brings us fulfillment. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalm 62:1, God, the one and only, everything I need comes from him. For the fact is, fulfillment is only available in Christ. Without Jesus, Peter's boat was empty. And if you don't have Jesus with you, your life will be empty on the inside too. You see, Peter may have owned the nicest boat on the Sea of Galilee. It might have been a luxury yacht. I don't know. But until he had Jesus with him, his boat was empty. And you may be here today and be full of things. You may have a good career and a lot of money and a big house, or you may not. But whether you have things or not, without Jesus, your life is void of real life. In fact, Jesus is the source of anything good in life. That's why 1 John 5:12 tells us, whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. And the first step in Peter's comeback was getting into Jesus' presence. He got into their boat and said, "Let's go deeper." And God is saying the same thing to you today. Let me into your life and let's go out deeper. He's calling you deeper in prayer, deeper in the word, deeper in worship. You may have grown weak in your faith due to uncertainty in your circumstances. You may have felt the zeal for God decreasing in your heart because of a lack of fellowship. Maybe being out of church has hurt your prayer life and your love for God has grown dim. But understand today that your comeback has to begin by coming back to God. He's the source for all good things, the source of life, the source of prosperity, the source of peace. And the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to your source. If you want more than you can carry, you can only find it in the bosom of Jesus. But here's the catch. To get closer to Jesus, you have to go further from the crowd. If you want to go deeper with Christ, you have to draw apart from the world. You can know him from a distance in the crowd, but you can only know him up close when you separate yourself. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. If you want to be singled out for God's favor, then you cannot be mixed in with God's foes. That's why the Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "Don't you know that to be a friend of the world is to hate God? So anyone who chooses to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. Don't you know what Scripture says? God wants the Spirit in us to belong only to him." See, God wants you to belong only to him. He doesn't want to share you with the world. He doesn't want your heart divided, because even though we are in the world, we don't belong to this world. We're not part of a political party or part of an ethnic group or part of a tribe or a race. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're here in the physical and natural, but God tells us we are to be separated from the world's systems and the world's ways. That's why Jesus said in John 15:19, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world. He's chosen for us to be separated from the world so that we can stay on the straight path that he is on. You can't stay close to the world and close to Jesus at the same time. You can't follow the path of the world without straying from the path of God. Simply put, we're headed in different directions, and it's time to make up your mind. Are you going God's way or going the way of the world? That's the lesson we can learn from the world's most dangerous road. Highway 150 in Mexico runs through some of the most rugged terrain on earth. It climbs up steep mountains and overlooks deadly cliffs. But what makes Highway 150 the most dangerous road in the world is something even more bizarre. For some reason, the government created this road so that as you climb the mountains, you change the side of the road that you drive on. Wow. In fact, you start out driving on the right, and then as you climb the mountain, you switch to driving on the left, and then as you keep going, you switch back to the right. Over and over, the side of the road you drive on keeps changing, and the only thing telling you which side of the road to drive on are a few arrows painted on the pavement to direct you. Imagine switching from one side of the road to the other at a split second notice, all while bending and curving around a mountain. You look up and you see a big truck is coming at you from the left. And then all of a sudden, as the truck is getting closer with speed, you see the arrow on the highway tells you to shift to the left. And the arrow on the truck driver's side tells him to shift to the other side. And you have to make a decision. Will you obey the sign? Or will you trust yourself and the driver to do the right thing? It's crazy. But as crazy as Highway 150 in Mexico may be, there's something even crazier. There are people who live just like that road, switching sides over and over. One day they're living for Jesus and following God's ways, and the next day they're living in sin and following the world's ways. One moment they're following Jesus, and the next moment they're following the crowd. One day they're reading the Bible, the next day they're posting on social media along with the rest of the world, agitating discontent and dissent. That's how many people live, and it's a dangerous life. There's nothing separating you from the world. There's nothing separating you from the oncoming traffic, which is headed in the opposite direction. And that's what has happened to many people during this coronavirus pandemic. You were active in church, and then suddenly you got stuck at home, and now you're active in immorality. One minute you were watching church online, the next minute you're watching pornography. You're with God, then you're against God. You're with God, then you're driving against God, and eventually, you're going to crash. Eventually, you're going over the edge, because the fact is this, it's what separates us that keeps us safe. Isn't that what we've all learned during coronavirus? We practice social distancing and we wear face masks because we're safer when we separate from others who might unknowingly be carriers of the disease. And that's how it is with Jesus. You can only be safe in God's presence when you are separated from the world. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18 says, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God tells us plainly, you can't have agreement with the world and agreement with God. The world's ways are at odds with God's ways. And since the source of your comeback is the presence of the Lord, then the closer you get to Him, the closer you get to the source of all things good. The further you get from Him, the further you get from the source of life. Now, this doesn't make sense to the natural mind. That's why unbelievers and the world and the carnal and the news media will tell you a different story. But God's ways are not man's ways. That's why God says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. God's word is true, and man's ways are false. You can't listen to man and find your way to come back. I think the reason many of us are discouraged and desperate right now is because we spend more time listening to the news than we do to God. We spend more time online than we do in God's word. We're filling our minds and hearts with words that bring fear and doubt and unbelief. But your comeback begins when you stop focusing on what man says and start focusing on what God says. I'm not saying that the news isn't true or that the problems in the world are not real. But I'm saying that God has a higher reality, a heavier truth, and a better way. And if you'll separate from the shore and get alone with Jesus, you'll hear from God. For He has a word for you. He has a direction for you. He has a promise for you. And if you'll listen to His voice, you will move from frustrated to fulfilled. And that brings us to our second step to launch your comeback. Submit yourself to God's word. Listen to how Peter submitted to Christ in Luke 5:5. He said, if you say so, Jesus, I'll let the nets down again. And see, here's how the story continues. When Peter went deeper with Jesus, then Jesus started challenging Peter to obey His word. He told Peter to cast his net one more time. At first, Peter started to argue with Jesus. After all, Peter had already worked all night and caught nothing. He was an experienced fisherman and Jesus was a carpenter. But when Jesus told him to let down his nets on the other side of the boat, Peter obeyed. If you say so, I'll let the nets down again. See, once Peter was separated into the presence of Jesus, then the presence of Jesus started to change Peter. Because anytime you get close to Jesus, you start to change. He not only changes your empty boat to an overflowing boat, He starts to change you. Peter had to humble himself. He had to yield his own thoughts and plans and let Jesus take control. But that obedience led to the breakthrough. When he obeyed the word, even though it didn't seem reasonable, Peter got a miracle. God's power overflowed in his life and brought a miraculous catch of fish. And the same thing will happen with you. But here's the problem with Peter and the problem with us. We allow what we see to determine what we know. But listen, the Bible tells us what we see should not be the basis for our knowledge or our faith. For Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. And consider what the Lord is telling us. Simply put, it's not what you see that influences faith. Faith knows what cannot be seen. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Don't apply your experience to your faith. Apply your faith to your experience. When I see nothing, faith knows there's something for me. When my net seems empty, faith knows God's got it covered. When I rely on my sight, I'll be limited by what I see. But when I walk in faith, I'll be liberated by what I know. When what I see is determined by what I know, then I will always experience overflow. So, what do I know? I know God's word is true. For Hebrews 6:17 says, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. And God wants you to know today that he will never change his mind. Your girlfriend may change your mind. Your husband may change his mind. Your boss may change his mind. But God will never, ever change his mind. That's why James 1:17 says, God our Father never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And when you know God doesn't change his mind, then you know that you can trust him to keep his word. For Hebrews 10:23 tells us God can be trusted to keep his promise. For the fact is, Hebrews 6:18 guarantees us it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for elephants to fly. It is impossible for a rock to swim. It is impossible for an old man to become a child again. It is impossible for a leopard to change its spots. And it is impossible for my God to lie. It's impossible for him to exaggerate. It's impossible for him to overpromise and underdeliver. It's impossible for God to deceive or manipulate or trick us. He cannot lie. And not only will God not lie, he's able to do what he said. For Romans 4:21 promises, God is able to do whatever he promises. For after all, God's word has power. Psalm 33, 6-9 says, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. There's power in God's word, and when you submit to it, you unleash power in your life for a comeback. The strange thing is, we would often rather trust the word of man who fails. We would often rather trust our own ideas than to trust the word of the living God who created all things by his word. Billions of people around the world trust their lives and their livelihoods to men based on man's promises. But these same people won't trust in God who cannot lie. That's what we can learn from the story of a man named Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff ran an investment firm in New York City called Ascott Partners. Back in the 1990s, Ascott Partners began making waves in the financial world as serious reports of wealth creation swept through the city of New York. It wasn't long before people were clamoring to get in on the action. In fact, over $60 billion U.S. dollars was invested with Ascott Partners. But alas, at the end of the day, Ascott Partners proved too good to be true. The entire company was built on a lie, using money from one investor to pay off another. By the time the government uncovered the truth, nearly $65 billion U.S. dollars had been lost. Families lost their life savings. Companies lost their pension funds. The collapse of Ascott Partners became the biggest investment loss in the history of the United States. Bernie Madoff convinced thousands of people to believe a lie. In the end, Bernie Madoff went to prison, but it didn't bring back the $65 billion U.S. dollars that were lost. Here in Ghana, we've had our own share of financial scandals. Banks have collapsed and investments have evaporated. And when you look carefully, you see the same problem. Thousands of people believe in man's word, yet those same people will not believe God's word. When the men's gold investment scheme collapsed in Ghana, a lot of people lost a lot of money. After the collapse, I was reading about a men's gold customer who claimed she invested in the company because some popular actresses and some hip-hop musicians promoted men's gold. According to this investor, she was convinced that if an actress and a singer recommended it, it must be true. But let me ask you a question. Why would you believe an actress but not the God who gave her the talent? Why would you believe a singer but not the God who gave him the voice? Why would you believe a banker but not the God who gave his mind the ability to count 1 + 1? But the fact is, God has given us a clear path to prosperity. It's not an investment scheme or a gold trading platform. It's not a hot stock tip or a new real estate opportunity. God's path to prosperity is the principle of giving. For God says clearly in his word, give and it will be given to you. You'll invest in a scheme based on the word of man, but you won't pay your tithe and give offerings based on the word of the God who doesn't lie. But God's word works. And when you submit to God's word, you enter the arena of overflow. For Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, my word always, somebody say always, my word always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And the same principle holds true in any area of your life. Take marriage, for example. The Bible says that it is God who joins a man and woman together and makes them one. And since it is God that joined you together, it only makes sense that he knows how to keep you together. God got you started as one, so don't try to go on by yourself without him. For God knows everything about you. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows when you lie down and when you get up. He knows all the thoughts you think. He knows your talents, your personality, and your experiences. And he knows best how to bring you to the place of fulfillment. So don't depend on your own thinking and reasoning to get you out of the pit you're in. You think you know best how to find fulfillment in your life, but you didn't even create your life. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. If you won't trust God with your life, then God won't trust you with his. Let's be honest. No one predicted the coronavirus pandemic. No prophet, no man of God foretold this event. Because no matter how great or how good a man may be, no matter how anointed, he is never even close to being like God. So how can you decide or determine the best path for your life when you can't even predict what will happen in the next 5 minutes? But God can predict the next 5 minutes and the next 5 days and the next 5 weeks and the next 5 months and the next 5 years and the next 5 millennia. God knows all. That's why Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I, somebody say only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. So today, consider this. Either you trust God or you don't. Either you obey his word or you don't. It's impossible to be half in and half out. You can't cast your net partway. It's all or nothing. And you can come back from any setback when you allow the truth of God's word to guide your decisions. And that brings us to our third step today. Our third step to launch a comeback is surrender to God's ways. See, that's how this comeback story ends. In Luke 5:11, the Bible says they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, at first, this seems so bizarre. When Peter gets the very thing he was looking for, the very thing he was praying for, the very thing he was fighting for, he then gets up and leaves it. They abandoned the miraculous catch to follow Jesus. Why would they do that? They could have sold that fish and made a big bundle. But there's something deeper going on. Peter has been changed. He realizes that there's something more valuable, more glorious, and more eternal than just a load of stinking fish. He's had his eyes open to see that he can live a continual life of blessing if he follows the way of Jesus. And I'm speaking to somebody today. In this coronavirus pandemic, you've been frustrated. Doors have been closed, and you've seen a lot of problems. And now there's a breakthrough. But think about it for a moment, friend. The things you've been struggling for are only temporary. Easy come, easy go. And God is calling you to a life of fulfillment. The life of fulfillment that God has for you is not a temporary one-off experience. It's not a hit or miss. He doesn't desire that we have one good catch of fish and then live the rest of our lives off of it. God doesn't want to give you a breakthrough and then leave you on your own. God's desire is that we continually tap into his life so that we experience true life, the fulfilled life, the life that lasts forever. It's not about amassing wealth that perishes. It's about eternal riches that exceed anything this world has to offer. It's about knowing him, a God who's too wonderful to imagine. It's about bringing our hearts to know the one who is all love and compassionate. It's to awaken us to the reality of his presence and his purpose for our lives. See, comeback in the second half of 2020 isn't just about getting your career back on track or your marriage back together or your body back in shape. All those things are good and necessary, but the foundation is the most important. Get your spiritual life back and the other things will come together. Surrender and let Jesus take control, and all the pieces will come together. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a woman named Petra Nemkova. Petra was living the life that many people only dream of. As an international fashion model, she flew around the world to exotic locations with her fiancé, Simon Attlee. She was famous, rich, and beautiful. But something happened that would rip away the pleasant facade of her life. On December 26, 2004, Petra and Simon were enjoying a luxury holiday in Thailand when disaster struck the nation. A violent earthquake set off a tsunami that swept over their beachfront resort. Petra was swept up in the flood and frantically grasped the top of a palm tree to avoid being carried off. For 8 hours, she clung to the top of the palm tree while the violent water swirled around her. She desperately held on for dear life. Her pelvis was shattered in 4 places, and she was nearly drowned multiple times. She could hear the screams and cries of others begging for help, until eventually every voice became silent. Over 230,000 people died in that event, including Petra's fiancé, Simon Attlee. It's likely that Petra would have died too, but then when all seemed lost, a stranger, a man from the local village, went out into the storm and risked his own life to rescue her. He climbed the tree and entered the storm and fought off the flood and brought Petra to safety. That kind act from a stranger not only saved her life, it changed her life too. Petra came face to face with grace, and she could not stay the same. After she recovered from her broken pelvis, Petra set out on a mission to share that same saving grace with others. In 2006, she began Happy Hearts Fund, a charity that helps rebuild schools after disasters strike communities. Today, Petra Nemkova travels the world promoting her charity work and blessing the children of the world. So far, Happy Hearts Fund has raised over $25 million and has rebuilt over 160 schools. The impact has touched over 600,000 lives in the last 15 years. The kindness that rescued her was the kindness that inspired her and is the kindness she now shares with others. And Petra has found a fulfillment that all the glamour and glitz of her life as an international model couldn't bring her. When a sudden storm ripped everything from her, Petra found her comeback to a better life when she opened up her life and gave it away. And that's the truth we all need to embrace today. When we empty ourselves, we find fulfillment. That's what Jesus told us in Mark 8:35. He said, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. In other words, God fills hands that have emptied all to follow him. It's in dying to self that we live. It's in helping others that we truly prosper. It's in carrying others' burdens that our own are lifted. It's in giving we receive. You may be tempted to hole up in your house during this pandemic and only think of yourself. You may be tempted to concentrate all your efforts on protecting yourself and guarding what you have. But the way out, the way of the comeback begins by emptying yourself to follow Jesus. Start serving others. Start focusing on caring for other people's needs. And you'll find a comeback that will make your life better than before. You see, the door to fulfillment isn't obvious to most people. Most folks think that it's in grabbing that we get ahead. The world believes that to get more than you can carry, you have to shove someone else out of the way and use ways and means to get what you want for yourself. But God's path to your comeback, it's not always plain. It doesn't come in the way you expect. But He shows us the true way to fulfillment. When we surrender all to Him, all our expectations, all our desires, all our dreams, He gives us an overflow. When we surrender all we have and all we are to Jesus, we end up with more than we asked for, more than we expected, and more than we can carry. That's the promise from Jesus Himself. He said in John 10:10, "I came to give life, life in all its fullness." As we prepare to enter the last half of 2020, God has a plan for you. It's a plan for a comeback. He wants to give you an outpouring that will lift you and fill you with His presence. He wants to give you a miracle in the middle of the year to turn your emptiness to fullness, to remove the frustration and give you fulfillment. And today, if you'll take these three steps, you'll launch a comeback in your life. No matter what has gone wrong, no matter where you're stuck, God can wipe away the tears and bring you back better than ever. It begins when you separate from the world. Stop listening to the voice of doubt and fear and blame and start listening to the voice of God. For when you submit to His word and do what He says, you will find a supernatural blessing. Submit to God's word and you'll see miracles of grace and provision and favor pour into your life. And when you surrender to Jesus and place your life in His hands, He will give you more than you asked for. He'll give you more than riches that fade away. He'll give you more than pleasure that passes. Jesus will give you life in all its fullness. Maybe you're watching today and you feel just like Simon Peter felt. You started off the year with great expectation. You worked hard and toiled all night, but you've come up empty. An unexpected roadblock has arisen, and here you are, empty-handed, frustrated, and confused. But Jesus is calling to you. The empty boat has made way for His presence. The night of frustration has passed, making true fulfillment possible. And He's calling you to separate from the shore and go deeper with Him. Submit to His word, surrender to His ways, give Him your life, and He'll give you His. He'll launch you on a comeback that will make the second half the best half of 2020. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank You for everyone watching and listening right now. I submit all Your people to You, everyone who's heard the word, and I ask that You would water this seed. Let it take root and go down deep. Let it grow up and bear fruit for Your glory. Change us by Your word. Let us hear Your voice calling You closer. Let us respond and submit and surrender. Start us on our comeback as we enter the middle of the year for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
The hope of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.